This is the Publix Radio, 89.3 FM. Good morning, I'm Chuck Hinman, and here with me is James Baumgartner for this week's Artscape.
Good morning, Chuck. Last June, Salve Regina University started their Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing program. Local author Ann Hood is the founding director, and she recently talked with her own Scott McKay about this low residency program.
Now, what's the difference between a low residency Master of Fine Arts program and the more traditional one that we see at somewhere like, say, Brown?
So the great thing about low residency and why I'm such an advocate of the model is if I had known about them, I might have gotten that kind of degree. You don't have to give up your life. If you're raising kids, taking care of elderly parents, have a big career, you can do a low residency because you only come to campus twice a year for a week each time, a week in June, a week in January. And all the rest of the time is done online with a faculty member. So you work one-on-one with a faculty member. We happen to have a great faculty, so they meet the students, they talk by phone. So you don't have to give up your life. That's hard to do. It's hard to do when you're just out of college and you need to get a job. It's hard to do if you're midlife and you're raising kids. It's hard to do if you're on the other end of the spectrum and maybe taking care of parents or finishing up a career. So our student body ranges. We have these wonderful young recent graduates, and their enthusiasm and their talent is huge. And we have those people who say, I've been doing this my whole life. It's time for me now. I had a career. I raised my kids, whatever. And now it's time for me to finish this book I've been thinking of forever.
What was your model? Was it something like the Breadloaf Writers Conference at Middlebury College? I know you've been involved with that.
You know how much I love Breadloaf, and that changed my life. And in a weird way, that was an inspiration because going to that writers conference at that young age with my, you know, 50 pages of my novel in hand, my first novel, and that place changed my life. And that idea of we can change lives. You're the person who's been writing your whole life but never told anybody. You're the person who chose to become a doctor or an engineer or raise your kids, and now it's your time. We're there to help you change your life and get your book written.
Now, do the students bring their work with them and then you do a critique? Do they write while they're in residence, or is most of their writing actually done before they come?
That's such a good question. It's a little bit of both or all of those things. They come, and every day they're in a workshop in their genre, so fiction writers, nonfiction writers, and poetry. And they have written it before, and everybody's read each other's work, and they come prepared to discuss each other's work with a faculty member. There is a generative workshop. I'm teaching it this June. I mean, we take turns on who's teaching. I'm so excited, where we put everybody together. So you could be sitting there, a poet, a nonfiction writer, a fiction writer, and we all work together. So that's generative writing there. And then there's that 6 months in between the residencies where you're working one-on-one with your mentor, but you're writing every month.
How do you deal with the common malaise of writer's block? What do you tell your students, or how have you dealt with it in your own career?
You know what, Scott? I don't know if you're going to believe me. I don't believe in writer's block. I just think that what happens is you've written yourself into a corner, you've come up with the wrong idea, and you've got to figure out how to fix it. And that can take a while, and it feels like you're blocked, but it's kind of like doing a jigsaw puzzle. You know, where is that corner that I can't find? And you just keep going, sifting through the pieces. That's how I think of writer's block. And one of the great things, of course, about any master's program is you're not allowed to have writer's block. You have deadlines. And when you're a writer, you know this, on your own, no one's giving you those deadlines. So it's really great to get into the habit of writing. And we have the deadlines, of course, for the residencies when we're meeting on campus. But every month our students have to produce, I think it's 30 pages. You can't get writer's block. You got to do your jigsaw puzzle.
So you do impose some structure. This is not kind of, well, I show up in Newport for cocktails twice a year.
That would be, no, wait, now you've given me a new idea, Scott. No, that's the next MFA program. No, it isn't. You do. You have a reading list and you have a page limit every month. It's rigorous. You know, you're getting an MFA. So, yes, you're getting to fulfill your dream of writing your memoir or your collection of poetry or your novel. But in order to do that, you know, if you're a writer, it takes putting your self in the chair every day and doing it, and it kind of helps you develop that discipline.
Yeah, one thing that differs with a low residency program compared to a traditional program is that we all who went to college know one thing: that you often learn as much from your classmates as you learn from the professor. And I'm just wondering, how does that work? How do you breed collegiality and that kind of learning with a low residence structure?
That is such a good question. And actually, it is a big focus of what we plan, because it's true. You only are with your other classmates 2 weeks a year, but 1 week in January, 1 week in June. So we make sure that we do group activities in June. We always go sailing together. Now, this might sound frivolous. It's fun. I'm not going to say it isn't. But the more time you spend together, the more you build community. We have that workshop I told you that I'm teaching in June, where everybody takes it. Otherwise, when would a poet and a nonfiction writer be in the same class? And of course, in the workshops, and then at the craft talks by both our faculty and our visiting writers. And we always have receptions after craft talks and readings. And the faculty, I chose them, I handpicked them, because I knew that they would want to talk to students. I have taught at many programs, low residency and, you know, typical ones, where you don't even know the other faculty members. Everybody kind of retreats to their rooms, and we don't do that. We actually have a pajama party every – I just got my Rhode Island out there, potty. We actually have a pajama party every residency.
And it's authentic because Ann Hood was raised in West Warwick, as we know.
I couldn't help myself.
The MFA program includes what they call craft talks from guest authors. It's where the author talks about their writing technique. And for the first time, Salve Regina is opening these craft talks to the public. There are several coming up in the days ahead, including Garrett Conley. He's the author of Boy Erased. It's a very famous memoir about surviving gay conversion therapy.
So, any other interesting events going on this weekend?
Well, have you ever seen a blacksmith forge in action?
Actually, no.
Well, Coggeshall Farm in Bristol, Rhode Island is a living history museum. It's set up sort of how a farm would work in the 1790s, and it has a working blacksmith shop. Artist Kendall Reese will use the antique forge in the shop to forge a set of hammers that will be part of a number of bronze bells that will be installed at the Coggeshall Farm later this summer.
Wow. I'm kind of old, but I don't go back that far, so that would be something to see.
A different way of farming you'll get to see at the Coggeshall Farm. What's going on Saturday, it's billed as a workshop, and it'll be happening from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. And I understand you found something going on in New Bedford.
Yeah, it's a documentary about Portuguese cod fishermen. It's called Voices in the Fog, and it's at the Corson Maritime Learning Center in the New Bedford Whaling National Historical Park on Friday night. It's in Portuguese and English subtitles, so you get the real thing.
All right, we'll close today with music from Ravi Shavi. They're playing at the Columbus Theater in Providence Friday night, along with fellow Rhode Island bands Atlantic Thrills and Sweet Pea Pumpkin. If you want the community to know about an event, let us know about it. You can do that at thepublicsradio.org/arts. And you can find more information about all the events we talked about at that same web address.
Artscape is produced by James Baumgartner. Our managing editor is Sally Isley.